On this episode of It's a Funny Old Life podcast, I was joined by former Liverpool, Manchester United and Bradford City youngster, former Bearskow, Nuncorn-Linnets, Warrington Town, Prescott Cables and Conway Borough footballer, and former McGulp, Bearskow and Pilkington manager and current assistant manager at Lidl and Remicher, Paul Bowles.
Hello and welcome back to It's Funny Old Life podcast, and I'm pleased to say I'm joined by assistant manager at Lidl and Remicher at the minute, but has been at plenty of other teams playing and managing as well. So Paul Bowles, thanks for joining. Okay, so the first question, just go back to your childhood. So like, where'd you grow up, stuff like that, what was it like?
I grew up in Crosby. Playing to Sacred Heart, played for school teams, played for local teams, Crosby Stewart, Fourfield Rangers, and then as we got a bit older, played for a team called Lucas with a few lads I went to Sacred Heart with. A few lads from Crosby. It was good, mate. It was sad.
Yeah, so the school team playing for, you say, Sacred Heart there, was that like, was that a good standard, like?
It was a good standard. We had a good side, to be honest. We had a couple of lads who played for Tammy. We had a called David Tees, who was brilliant at centre mid. We had Matty Brown, who still plays now. He was captain of York last year. He's moved on this year. I think he might have gone to Chester, maybe. He's gone somewhere. He was at York last year. We had a lad called Steve Tinsley, who ended up at Blackpool, I think. We had good lads tonight. Very good lads. It was a good side. It was a good standard.
So did you ever play for the school team at county level?
Yeah, we played for Sefton. Never played for Merseyside. By the time we played for Merseyside, I was a bit of a pain in the arse when I got to school then. So we weren't allowed to do that. But at the time, I was in the mix with the likes of Liverpool and Man United when I was 15, 16. Through playing for Bearskow, believe it or not, a guy called Dave Hughes. Come and played Bearskow when I was 15, signed uni bond forms with them when Derek Gordon was the manager the first time. And then off the back of that, got a trial at Liverpool, a trial at Man United, and ended up doing a YTS at Bradford.
So going to Liverpool and Man United, so talk a bit about Liverpool. So like, how did it come about? Did you get like scouted, like playing for the Sefton?
No, it was for Bearskow. I was actually playing for Bearskow under 18s at the time, and I was 15. We played a couple of games and then signed uni bond forms, and I was in a first team squad for Derek Gordon for Bearskow when you were in the uni bond prem. And being 15, I think it raised a few eyebrows. So I think it was Dave Shannon and Hughie McCauley pulled me in off John McNabb, Dave McNabb, who's at Rylands. It's his father. He was a scout at Liverpool. He took me over to Liverpool for a trial. I think it was there like 6 months, but I never got a whitey there, mate. The standard was above where I was playing.
Yeah. So did the teams that were there, like, did you play any games for Liverpool then?
Yeah, played a couple. Played like Bolton. Played. I think we played a long time ago now. This night, Bolton, West Brom, Wigan. They were just like local team, like Northwest teams. You'd be played early. It was regionalised, but it was good, mate. The standard was brilliant. There was a couple of standouts as well, to be honest. But there was a lad called Sean Ryder. He was the best about. He was meant to be the next Steven Gerrard. He had a bad accident and had to retire, but he was mustard, mate. He was the best about.
Yeah, and then moving on to, you say you went to United after Liverpool then?
Yeah, so never wasn't successful at Liverpool, and when I come out of there, I think I only went and played one game at Bearskow. Back in the new team, just played one game for Fletcher again and Dave Hughes, and Dave Hughes said to me, look, Man United have had a sniff, they've been at Liverpool, they've been at a couple of games looking at other lads, and said might be worth a punt. So I went up there, went up and trained at Carrington for 8-9 weeks, I think. It was in my last year in school, where there was some unbelievable players there. It was like Danny Welbeck, there was Danny Drinkwater, Tom Cleverley. The standard was unbelievable. But never wasn't successful there, but again, it was a massive experience, and I got me from the back of that, I got me whitey at Bradford from that.
So then, yeah, moving on, like, down to Bradford, obviously, at YTS, so, like, how does that work? Is that, like, from school going on for, like, 2 years, isn't it?
Yeah, so, 16 and you say, oh, come and do this, you're going to be a footballer and move you away from home, pay your absolute buttons and make your clean boots and all that. Well, he did back then anyway, if you don't know. But yeah, it was brilliant, mate. That's probably the best 2-3 years of my life, that being at Bradford. And being with lads from all over the country, there's lads from London, lads from Ireland, lads from Newcastle, lads local in Leeds, lads in Sheffield, lads in Doncaster. I got close mates from all around the country. Probably spent the best 2 years of my life growing up in my childhood, turning me into one man, having to put up with hairy ass fellas giving you shit every day and saying how bad you are, but it just built your character. It just made you tough as a young lad being away from home.
Yeah, so the experience you gained from that, is that like stuff that you've took into what you're doing now?
Yeah, I see loads of young lads now, and I know there's lads now who are 18, 19, and they've had a bad, last year was a full year, but the 2 years before that with COVID, they've missed 2 years in youth team football, where most lads would have played 80 games at some sort of standard, and they've only been able to play 20, 30, and 60 games in your lifespans, a lot of games and a lot of experience. So there's a lot of young lads out there who are brilliant now. We were 18, who've been overlooked, and we had a few in our baseball squad last year, and I just hope that they go and do well somewhere. I know they're good enough to do it.
So while you were there at Bradford at the time, was there anyone that ended up making it at a good standard, even like pro?
Yeah, there was a few lads there when I was there. There was a couple of lads older than me. There was Scott Phelan, Peter Moore. They just left Everton at the time they come in. There was the lads who were YTs with us. I think the best at the time. We were like 16, 17. But Andre Wisdom was only 14 at the time. He used to play with us. He used to come on, join in with us on a Wednesday and Thursday. I think they'd take him out of school, and then by the time before he even signed the YT, Liverpool had bought him. He was probably head and shoulders above everyone. But we had brilliant coaches there. We had Nigel Martin, we had Jim Montgomery, we had a guy called Jonathan Pepper, who's doing something in Africa now, running a couple of clubs in Africa, bringing the standard up in Africa. We had Dean Richards, who was play for Tottenham. He sadly passed away now, but he was there. He was just great people to lean on. Another guy called Mark Senior, who runs a load of training schools and was a coach at Man United Academy for the last 10 years. That we had top coaches, and so they just developed us into men, really.
So at the end of the year, at the end of the 2 years, did you expect Bradford to keep you on, or did you know that your time was coming to an end?
So what happened? They got relegated. They changed the owners, they cut the door, we knew we were all gone. They just said, look, we can't afford to be paying for young lads to be staying out of town. We need to fight for survival, really. We need to cut everything back. So we knew we were getting the chop. And a good friend of mine who's currently his first team manager at Radcliffe Borough now, Bobby Grant, he's been my best mate growing up. He was at Accrington at the time. He was just starting his journey with Accrington and John Coleman, and that John Coleman took me under his wing as a favourite of Bobby, and he got me in there till for 3-4 months just to settle me down and calm me down, keep me playing footy, let me play a couple of games in the reserves, and after that, it was good. With alongside players like Lee McGivern, like Jay Harris, like Dave Maddox, just to meet lads like that and see what the journey they'd gone through. And he took me under his wing, and it was John Coleman who introduced me into that league, really.
So going into John Coleman at Achy, did you know any lads before there going in?
Yeah, I only knew Granty at the time. He was the only lad I knew there. He was the same as me. He was second year YTS, but he played two in the first team. He was John Coleman's little gem. He loved him. Coley loved him. Granty owes his career to him, and I think it was just a favour to Granty, really, and let me come in and train with him and learn from them. But the players, we've seen them with players like Ian Crane, Peter Cavanagh, Ian Dunbarvan, lads who've won every league from what's now the Northern Premier Division 1. They've won it all with Accrington and got them into the Football League. So they were good lads to learn off, they were good lads to be around, and lads who are still bumped into now and have a chat, have a pint with them if you've seen them.
Yeah, so after the after them days like with Accrington and Bradford, you went did you go straight into non-league then?
Yeah, so I got Coley was mixed with Liam Watson at the time, and he said to me, go to Southport. I don't know, it was Gary Brabham was Southport manager. He said to me, oh, going into Southport with Babs, you look after your, you might not play many games because you're in the Conference North at the time, but it's a good experience. It's a good club. You'll get out on loan, you'll learn your trade. So only being a 19-year-old centre-half, and only 15 years ago was hard work. No one was going to play a 19-year-old centre-half. I needed as much experience I could get. So I've been in, been training with Southport, and Babs was just about to take the job, and he got off at Cambridge. That was when Liam Watson took the Southport job, left Bersko, and his assistant Joey Dunn stayed at Bersko. And Liam said to me, look, I've won the FA Trophy with my Bersko side, they're all coming to Southport. My assistant's staying, he's building the team, go and play for Joey. And I've already met Joey Dunn, who's now, I still see him as my gaffer. He doesn't manage anywhere now, but don't know wherever he's been, and he set me on my way in the league. He signed me. Bersko was 19 years of age, Conference North, playing every week for him.
So from going into Bersko, like obviously being used to playing like teams of Bolton, and then going into Bersko, was it? Could you tell straight away the difference in quality?
Yeah, the physicality really. It's playing. It's like the under 23 games now. It's the reserve team football at the time. Or like you were playing against older men, and they were stronger and they were physical. But it was false football. Lads were looking after themselves. They were money getting injured. They were in the reserve for a week, pushing for first team and tackles are flying, but not full bodied, and then going straight into Conference football with fellas who are going to work all weekend a day, and it's serious for them, and they want to win every week, and you want to win every tackle, every header. I learnt a lot there. My nose broke once or twice, broke a few ribs, broke a few fingers, rolled a few ankles, but that was part of the game. And that was, it is what it is. You had to deal with that. And I had lads on my team who were doing the same to other lads on the opposition. It was just, the game was a bit rougher then, it was harder, and you're playing with, remember we had a guy up front called Alan Smart who played in the Premier League for Watford. He was 36, big Scottish fella. He just got hold of everything, he was all arms, all elbows, couldn't move. The ball was 3 inches away from him, he'd have a go at you. You'd have an hit me, but if you hit him, he'd get hold of anything, and he'd put the ball in the back of the net. And there was only a few of them who stayed when Liam left, because he was under contract. There was Alan Smart, Joey Dunn, and Dominic Morley, who's local to me in Crosby, used to have a pint where he's recognised as probably one of the best of his generation, just never really had the luck, and ended up coming into non-leagues. But it was brilliant, mate, learning off lads, physical lads who'd been there and done it. And it was just, they were all coming towards the end of the career, and I was just starting, so I was just taking every bit of info I could get out of them.
Yeah, 100%. So, like, obviously playing with these lads, that obviously got you used to life in non-league football and what it's about.
Yeah. So I ended up moving on with Joey, played with Joey at a couple of clubs, and it's the same now. All the managers speak to each other. We all know each other. We all speak to each other. Players seem to think that doesn't happen, and every team's competitive, but it's competitive. But all the managers, we all know what's going on. We all speak to each other about players. Players move all the time, and I think it was the same then. All these fellas who were managers have played together, similar to all us. Now we've all played against each other and around each other. So you get moved around of playing for managers like Andy Gray, like Joey Dunn, all them playing with Paul McNally at Uncle Minutes, Chris Herbert over in Conway. They were just boss fellas, mate. They're just old school, and they were legends of their time in the league. It was great to learn off them.
Yeah, and so Bersko, when you were at Bersko at the time, I think they were the Northern Premier League or Conference, I think at the time they had a stint in the Conference, didn't they?
Yeah, Blue Square North. It was hard, it was a good league then.
So like, what were the like, two teams, like Southport, Royals and like stuff like that?
Yeah, like so Kings Lane and Telford, teams like that. It was a hard league then, very hard league. It was an hour, it's a different type of football.
In your sense. So what was it after Bersko? Was it Runcorn, Linnets?
No, it was Warrington after that with Joey. Joey moved on, he moved to Warrington. I had a little stint at Prescott for a bit, picked up a couple of injuries, and then had a bit of a break and started pre-season again at Warrington with Joey Dunn. Some of the lads are still playing. Some of the lads who moved with us are still playing now. When Joey left, you've got like Michael Gogan, who's still at Skem. You've got players like him who've just managed to stay around and stay in it over the years and just had success after success. It's good, mate. We had that, even the Warrington team, we had to think we were favourites to go down at that league. And I remember we played Halifax at home, like Halifax, like disbonded, like what Stockport had done. And they were building themselves back up. I think there was 800-900 people at Cantilever Park, and we managed to hold them. We held them to a 1-1. It was unbelievable. We were a group of kids. We were just a group of rag-ass scousers, and we managed to hold them. But we had a couple of leaders there, like Chris Gagan, like Phil Adland, like Jamie Horn. They carried us through them games, and it was the same again. It was all a learning curve, mate. Everywhere you went, you were learning off the older lads. But then, with that, come having pints with them and going out with them and having a laugh, it was good.
Yeah, so Cantilever Park rings you, that's Warrington Town, isn't it? So
yeah.
I think that obviously now it's the Northern Premier League Premier, and they're always up there for a promotion. So what standards was it then?
It was the same then, it was the North. Oh no, it was the one below. I think it might, you know what, I can't remember. I think it might have been the Evil Prem. We had Joey Dunn was manager, and then after I can't remember who came in after Joey, I can't remember, it was that long ago, but the standard then, it was the same, mate. It was just rough, it was physical, everything was, and it was just, that was what non-league was about at the time. It was still like, saying it was like 2000s football, where the old fellas were, they were the stalwart, they'd been around, the elbows were there, the tackles were flying in. You'd hardly ever see any red cards or yellow cards for tackles. It was
just normal.
It was just normal. That was just the way it was. It was physical, and I think over the years it's developed into a bit more professional style. And lads do things. They get the ball down. You play 14. Even always with one, you go home and you feel like you've been at bricks. But that was the style of 14. There's no right or wrong way to do it. That's just the way we all played it.
Yeah. Warrington. So how did it come to an end there, and what team was it next?
So believe it or not, we played Salford last game of this. We played. I think it was Newcastle Town. We played the last game of the season. I got a red card, two yellow, and I got a red card on a Tuesday night for the second last game of the season. So it takes 7 days for red cards to come through. So I wouldn't have been banned for the last game of the season. I would have had a 1-game ban for the following season. Last game of the season, we played Salford away, and I got a straight red card. Because I've had two red cards in a week, I got a 12-game ban at the start of the season after.
Oh my God.
So I'd done a full pre-season with Joey in there. Then I had to do another 6-week pre-season as a punishment, served me right. And then I had to wait another 6 weeks before I could even get in the squad. And by then I was 24, 25, and I had a girlfriend, I had a job, and they were like, listen, you're leaving work early to entertain, you're not even playing, what's going on? So my ma and dad are giving me grief. I've got to grow up, I've got to move out and all that. So it becomes a time where it was like, right, I need to go to work, and the job I do industrial gas. I was going all over the country at the time. I was missing training because I'd be up in Newcastle, or I'd be over in Glasgow or down in London. I ended up missing all the training sessions, and Joey called me and said, look, this isn't going to work. You can't not come to training and playing games.
Scam manager?
He was rough, mate. No, different
form of life. Oh, right, okay.
There was a guy called Chris Fitzsimmons, who was a left back when I played at Warrington. He played with this Paul McNally, and he was coming towards the end of his career, and Macher had asked him to come in as his assistant at Runcorn, and Fitzy phoned me and said, look, it's pointless, you're not playing, come and play. That was the Northwest Counties back then. It was less pressure, there was, don't have to train every Tuesday, Thursday, come and do a Thursday and play the Saturday. If you've got a game on a Tuesday, do the Tuesday, and after Thursday off, just come and play, it's pointless doing nothing. So I got in there with them for 2 years, and that was probably one of the best changes we had, to be honest, mate. We had the likes of Chris Lawton, who's at City Liverpool with Elo. Elo was there himself. We had Matty Adders, who's at Exton Villa now. We had a top changes there. Mate, Michael Grove had done a stint there. We had Matty Jones there. We had Richie Mottram. The changes was unbelievable. Maybe we had a boss group of lads, and we had the best 2 years there. We come close, and I think one year we pushed top five, but never really had that cutting edge to do it. We had Rob White up front, who was the Runcorn Town analyst legend. He's probably one of the only, to be honest. And he got an injury when we were there and just finished us off, really. We couldn't replace his goal. So, but we never had no success, but we had a top team, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my 2 years at Runcorn. It was great, mate. The fans were brilliant.
Yeah, well, I mean, Linnets nowadays, do I think it's 600 or 700 to get out of the ground now. It's really good, but I think at the time, not many people would have known about non-league football, so they wouldn't have got that many fans. Like, but Linnets at the time, they were always always near the top of the table.
I remember playing Bunker. We were playing Runcorn Town on Boxing Day at Runcorn Town, and I don't know whether you've been there. It's like Chernobyl. It's like a different world.
Yeah, I've been to the ground before, yeah.
We were playing there on Boxing Day, and it was snowing. There must have been about 12 inches of snow on Christmas Day, and I remember Macker and Fitzy saying to the lads, listen, there's no way this game's on. Get out and do a run on Christmas Day, and we'll see who's in between. Got a game on New Year. All right, that's me. I'm out on the aisle. Went out on Christmas night, got absolutely slaughtered. The game wasn't getting called off. I ended up getting picked up by the assistant manager, Chris Fitz, outside the Lava buildings in town at 4 o'clock in the morning. He said to me, you need to get home and get your head down up to now. This game's on. Picked me up at 11 o'clock in the morning and said, listen, there's been fans on the pitch all night, so on the pitch, out. This game's going to be on. I ended up playing centre half in the first Runcorn derby. Since Runcorn split, and they become Runcorn Town and Runcorn Limits. Played in the first, and it was I think it was J Max Shane. I played, must have had 20 pints. I don't even remember the game, to be honest. But yeah, I remember J Max Shane scoring two in the first half. I couldn't even see him. Scored two in the first half, I got absolutely slaughtered. And there's a newspaper cutout in Runcorn Town's thing of that game saying how bad I was because I was that pissed, I think.
That's a madness, that. so,
All these lads who play for us now, we think we don't know what's going on. We've been worse for 10 times. We've heard all the excuses in the book because we've used them.
Oh, that's unbelievable, that. obviously, I think then you were... think you had a, did you have a stint in Wales with Conway, buddy, was it?
Yeah. He was brilliant, mate. We had some top lads there. We had Terry McCormack, who's a bit of a legend over in Wales, top keeper. He's only thrown boxes, but moved over the water. We had Lloyd Ellens, who scored the goal for Skene in the FA Cup the other year to take him through. He took him through to the
Harrogate one.
He scored away at Harrogate to Victor Blanquet. He played in front four. We had Andy Miley, who was happy with a good few. He played out with Miley, but he got his move for Bangor. That's another one, mate. We had a brilliant team, but we never had that cutting edge. We never done anything with it, but that was brilliant, mate. Them trainees over there with Miley and Terry and Chris Irvine and Lloyd. We used to pick them up. Me and Andy used to pick them up in Birkenhead and drive into Wales. The car was unbelievable. We had an absolute scream there for a good year and a half. It was brilliant, mate. Boss club that as well, Conway, brilliant club. You don't have to get involved in like the local community, and it's brilliant, mate. The league's proper physical, and as soon as the agent scouts are over there, that's it. You just get hell from the kickoff to the very end. But it's brilliant, mate. I loved it. Playing for Herbert as well, he was quality. He's a Salford under 23s now.
Yeah. So either way, going to Wales, it's like an hour to even get to home match or so. Some of the aways you must have gone on was what, 4 or 5 hours away?
Yeah, I think we were 1 miles away, maybe miles away. But we won the Hughes Grey Alliance Cup. We won the cup there. I think we went to a penalty shootout. I think Terry Max saved 4 of the 5 pence in the shootout. It was unbelievable. And We had a brilliant squad, but as you say, some of them were absolutely miles away. I only got 18 points out of that. I couldn't, it was too far. I'd gone all the way to the arse end of Wales on a Tuesday night after work and getting in at 2 o'clock in the morning. You were like, wow, don't need this.
Nah, not at all.
So after that, I just thought this. I think I remember playing in a game for them. It was in the middle of Wales. It was snowing. It was about -3. Yeah, beat about 3-0, and I just thought, I don't need this. I just can't be dealing with this. I've had enough of this. And I said to me, babe, look, that's me. I can't do what my head wants me to do. I've got terrible ankles. I've got terrible knees. Like, if I join in with the lads in training now, I can't walk for 3 days because my ankles are good. Just said to me, babe, listen, I can't do this no more, and just stop playing. And that was when my mate, Joey Burns, who's my goal manager now, said to me, look, he was at Eagle at the time. He said, just come and play here on a Sunday with the lads and get involved. I'm looking at getting involved on a Saturday if I can at Eagle Stadium. And when I ended up going into my goal with John, played the season at the Eagle with them in the old Liverpool prep. That was that was an experience, to say the least. But the team at the Eagle we had was unbelievable. You could most Saturday teams again. We had like Liam Locke centre mid when he was the height of his powers.
Lockie, yeah.
He played centre mid, yeah, he was brilliant. We were good mates, but I think that was a bit of an introduction to me meeting Joey, and then going into management with Joey then at McGall. I was there for a year and a half with Joey at McGall and enjoyed every minute of it.
So the Eagle started after you finished there. Did you ever play any more Sunday footy?
No, I didn't play Sunday. I think after what I'd done, I didn't play then. I went out with the system with Joey. I used to join and train him and that a bit with Joey when we were at my goal. Didn't play anymore. Played a bit local with the lads by Arthur, the Slaughterhouse, and a bit for the Warbreck and a team called Cosby Comedy, but not on serious. It was just a laugh with the lads by ours, and then going to McGull and training and training with them, and enjoyed it and I loved it. And then there's a lad from Biagio and all called Neil Hughes. He was baseball captain a couple of years ago. He put me in touch with Nick Matthews, who's at Elano, and Nick was just taking over at Pilkington's and starting them on their journey. I think they were in the Mid Cheshire at the time, or the West Lancashire or something, and he just won the league with them and got them into the North West Counties. Nick said to me, look, I want you to come in, and I need an older head, I need a couple of lads, a couple of older lads to come in, a couple of scousers who were going to try and rough the league up and try and get us out of this North West Counties, get us up the league. So we went in there. I took one of my best mates, Joel Richardson, he came in with us. We had, you might remember, Steve Willow, who's played for a little Steve Willow, he came with us. And
yeah,
to be fair, mate, the squad we built, we had a good squad. We had young Sam Tichling goal, who's just signed for Ireland now from Wigan.
Yeah.
We had Luke Shefton was there, he's just signed for Widnes. We had a brilliant teammate, and Nick just got shafted basically by the club. I think we were second in the league after 15, 16 games, absolutely flying, and he just sacked him. He just said, no, listen, we're not happy with this, see you later, and just sacked him, just got rid of him, absolutely stitched him up. So we left, and me, Joel, Steve, we all left, and just said, Steve and Joel said, look, we're going to go back to my club and do what we do there, go and play for Joey. And Nick said to me, look, I'm going to crack on, and I appreciate the loyalty. And then the year after, we applied for the Bursco job and got it.
Well, right.
When the Bursco was Nick's assistant.
And then I think you did you do a year's assistant and then go into the full-time management then?
No, I've done 2 years as Nick's assistant. We've done the first season when it got finished with COVID after like 30 games.
Oh, yeah, 19-20.
We just started to put a little one together, won a few games, and got ourselves out of the game scenario. So we managed to stay up that year, and then the second year was hard. We waited for months and months to play with COVID, and then when the season finally came, I think we only played 4 games, and then that got curtailed then, and we started off last year. That was bringing us into last year. We started off, we built a good team this season, and we just struggled the first 4 or 5 games. We just didn't do it, and we didn't look like scoring. We couldn't get on the ball, and with the players we had, we were like, what's happening? And the club ended up saying, look, this isn't working. Nick left, and however that played out, they left, and they said to me, look, we want you to take over temporary, and so we get someone in, give us a couple of weeks, help us out. I said, sound, and I think we went unbeaten then for 10 games, I think, while I was in charge, and eventually, I think after 4 or 5, he told me behind closed doors, look, the job's yours, keep doing what you're doing. And after the 10, he made it official and put me manager in, and like Christmas, we were third in the league.
Yeah, you were flying, weren't you? And then I think in the end, you just finished 6th. But I think at the time, even though you were third, I think there was the gap between like 2nd and 12th at the time around Christmas was only about 7 or 8 points, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were close. We were in touching distance, and we still had them to play. We just played again. I think Abdul has just come back there from behind. He scored in the last 5 minutes, and he never really troubled us. Macker will say we outplayed them, and then at Christmas we were flying. The feeling was good. And we beat Withenshaw 5-1. They were flying. We beat Congleton 2-0 at home. We beat Northwich at home. I think we had a run where we played like teams who were all in the top 6, and we just, anyone who come our way, we just beat them. And then when we played Congleton just before Christmas, I lost Jack on to a freak injury where he hurt his kidney and his liver. He ended up in intensive care.
Oh.
And Jack Daniels took a heavy knock to his mouth, knocked a couple of teeth out, and done his jaw, and he was out for a couple of weeks. And Pete Hennessy broke his kneecap, losing like the spine of the team. Absolutely killed us. And we had at the time, we never had no money to replace them lads. I just got told off. You've got to do what you've got to do with the lads you've got. You can't bring any more in. You can't spend any more money. We're cutting the budget basically. So where we are, where we went from playing, having some players like Jack, like Peter, like Dech, you were like, right, you can't replace them, use what you've got. So we had lads there, we had like Nathan Marland, brought Tom Williams in, Lucien had started playing these, the lads stepped up, and after Christmas, my bird had a baby, and then I got cut. While she had the baby, she got COVID. So I missed like 4 weeks because we had the baby and I had to isolate. In 4 weeks, I think we only won one game out of six, and we just totally fell away.
Yeah, and then, but in the, I think, sixth, either way, from when you were saying when you first went in, you just stayed up. That's quite a good finish, like.
When I took over, I think we played eight games, I think, and we had 3 points, and we were second bottom in the league, and only scored 3 goals out of them games. And then, the first 2 games I took over, I think we got beat. Squires Gate away. Oh no, we do. First game in charge, Squires Gate away midweek. Turns up, didn't know what was happening. It was all still in the air with Nick, and we managed to get a result there, and the feeling was good after it. And then we lost one after that, and then we went to Wythenshaw away. And I was thinking, if we don't get nothing here, we're just going to bring someone in and I'll be turfed. And went to Wythenshaw away, and to be fair, we should have won. We missed a few chances, 3-2 all. I think Cormax was absolutely unbelievable, played out of his skin. I think single handedly between Chris Lomax, Dech Daniels, and probably George Lomax to effect. They got me the job, the three of them. Three lads going forward. Josh Squires as well. The lads going forward, they were brilliant for me. I think I got the best out of all four of them.
Yeah, Josh Squires went to City Liverpool, didn't he?
Yeah, so he's an unbelievable player, but he's a bit misunderstood. He's a top lad. I rate him highly, very, very highly. And everywhere he goes, he's a bit of a character, and some people don't know how to take him. He's probably the most honest kid you'll ever meet in your life. Most honest kid ever. And I think some people don't like the way he is. And Josh knows that. He'll tell you that. I think I've always been honest with him. He's always been honest with me. And the funny thing is, when I took over, I kicked him out. I dropped him off the team and said, you're not doing it. You're not good enough. And I think it was the best thing I ever done for him and for me. Because it sort of give him a bit of a rod up his arse, and from that he was, I think it was 16 games, he scored 14 goals, he was unbelievable. He had all sorts of teams looking after him and begged him to stay, we don't want because to stay, and he wanted to go. So he ended up going to City of Liverpool. I think personally, if he'd stayed with us and done another 15 games, he doesn't score another 15 goals, he'd have done a massive jump. He'd have gone higher, like Dech Daniels at the same time was getting offers, and he said, no, I'm going to stay. He stayed for another 12 games, scored another 9 goals, and he ended up going to add goals in the Prem, whereas Josh was in Division 1 in City of Liverpool, and that league's hard for any forward. That's the difference between the counties and the Evo, and
yeah.
In my eyes, is the defenders are quality,
massive,
and the midfielders are clever. It's not just the goals don't move, and I've put the ball in, and then it's the service and who they're playing against that makes a massive difference, I think. And I think that's where Josh struggled. He was people were targeting him. He's a 6'7".
Yeah.
10, really. He's not a number 9. People expect him to be a number 9 and win flick-ons and win everything around his neck, and that's not him. He wants the ball at his feet turning and going forward. Just didn't work out for him. So, listen, I wish Josh all the best. Whatever he does, I know he can play. He's just, I think if he applies himself and he gets the grip that he got for us at the start of last year, he can go well, but if he gets in a low, he needs to get himself out of it quickly.
And then, that season had to come to an end, and you left Bersko and then went with Colin to the Remy. So how did it come about then?
So the Bersko had no money. Well, they told us they had no money. He said, "You've got no money, we can't pay any of the lads' expenses." And bearing in mind, I had Paddy away, I had everywhere, all the furthest games away for us for the last 5 games of the season. Lads were travelling all over the Northwest to come and play, and he weren't even getting, oh yeah, there's a bottle of water, not a thank you, not after the season we'd had. And it was a bit of a kick in the teeth, and then to find out that they did actually have the money and they'd held the money back for next year, and he had no intentions of paying the lads. Was just the final straw, really. So I left, and it was a bit all underhand the way it happened after the owner died, Martin. I never had a problem with Martin, but there's a couple of people at the club who I don't think they want the club to progress as much as they make out they do, and I think they were scared of what we were going to do the year after. So that's that. And Carl said to me, close season, I didn't know what was happening. All the lads were saying to me, you're getting another club, because every single one of them left, and they were all saying to me, look, where you go, I'll go. And I left it, and I said, I'll see what plays out. I applied for a couple of jobs, never got them. And then just a couple of weeks before, I think it was a week before pre-season start, Cole phoned me. I was actually at a wedding in Santorini at the time, and he phoned me and he said, are you still not doing that? And I said, no. He went, what's the point in that? Come in and help us, and we need all the help we can get. We built a good squad last year, and we just need a bit of help, and we're putting the shit sitting around doing that, and come and give us a hand. And I've been in contact with Cole since the minute he took over at the Emmy, and listen, he's a top man, and he's a top top. He was a top player, probably slightly underrated as a player. And since I've come in, I think it's a friendship that's just going to grow, mate. He's brilliant. He's a top fella, and working with him and Mikey Yordish, well, Mikey played for me. I signed him, and then when Cole got the job, he left it to be Cole's assistant. I was gutted when he left, and to team up with Mikey, I know how good Mikey is, and he shouldn't be standing on the line. He should be playing. So. So our players like Mikey and the players he brought in, like Carl Pearce, we managed to get Bocchi in. We've got Luke Jensen in. We've got Jamie Mack. We've got some squad mates, and I think between the two of us, and Mikey and Gary, we can make it work. We just got to keep the lads happy, keep them on side, and we've got to set them up right to win, which I think the last two games we have, we haven't had a rubber agreed.
Yeah, and I think to start the season, like the pre-season, well, we had quite a couple of good results, and like you said, you got quite a few lads in during the summer. I've seen on the Twitter you've got quite a good squad together. A couple of ex lads from Bootle, Keaton Alligan, Carl Pearce, Liam Lachlan, but two games you've played, Berry and the Isle of Man, were both being unlucky. Obviously, I was at the Isle of Man game yesterday, and you were quite unlucky, to be honest. Had quite a few chances. But do you think it'll? Do you not think it'll be to take a long for it to eventually click?
No, I don't think we're a million miles away, mate. You can see yourself yesterday. If we have a bit more luck, the ball goes in. We've just been unlucky. And look, everyone's expecting Berry to be a top side coming in the fourth. They're a massive club with a big back, and there was 1,100 people there on Saturday. They've got the potential, if they wanted to beat it, to be a Macclesfield. I know they're not. Being as vocal and making as much noise as Massfield did, but they've certainly got a budget and a backing where they could be if they wanted to, and they're the same. They've got a good squad, they've got top facilities and top lads, and for us to go there, and it's a bit of an unexpected, really. We didn't know what we were coming into. And to go there and match them in the first half, give a silly goal away, but we had ourselves, you had one to Solard, and because I went in drawn at half time, and I think because I got sort of second half going and playing, and 5 minutes into the second half, Lucina got sent off for a silly foul, it sort of killed us. But then last night, Isle of Man, people are expecting them to be up there and do well this season. I think we more than matched them. Did another day, we scored 7-8 goals there, and just a bit of luck. I think it's coming, and someone's going to get an eye soon. I can see it.
The next few games you've got quite a tough loss. I think every game in that league and in that league are quite tough. But hopefully for using the Remy, you'll be back up there. But in the next few years, do you ever have any ambitions of going back into management?
I've still got a lot to offer. I'm being a manager, and I think the lads who play for me, I'd like to think that they think that as well. I'd like to think that the lads who play for me, I'm an honest fella. If I don't think they played well, I'll tell them they haven't played well. If they have played well, I'm the first to praise them. I think I see my players as friends. I'm a young manager, really. And I think I like to think all the lads who play for me I'd play for him again. And just, if going forward, if I did get a job and someone was going to sign for me, and he asked one of the lads who had played for me, I'd like to think that he said, yeah, he's a top manager. So I think I've still got it in my locker to go manage somewhere, but for now I'm enjoying this with Cole. It's a nice little project. Denny's a boss club, mate, with Tony.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, mate, and to see that many people there yesterday. And I know they almost ran out of air yesterday. There were that many people there having a pint, and good to see, mate, if we can build something there. I'd love that, mate. Nice and local to ours. It's good. It's a boss club. I'd love to do well here, but if I can see it somewhere else, so be it. But for now, I'm just enjoying it here with Carl, Mikey, Gary, and see where it goes.
Yeah, definitely. So that's it. So Paul, thanks for joining it. I do really appreciate it.
No problem, mate. Anytime.
Thank you.
Speak to you later.
Ta-da.